Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We are excited about you being here with us on this evening. Amen. As you may have noticed that we have a different setup tonight, but you're going to enjoy what Apostle Queen and I have prepared for you in God's Word on this evening. But before I even get into an encouraging word on this evening, I just want to quickly go into the announcements and the events. Amen, and then just prepare our hearts and our minds for the word of the Lord being brought forth by my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen? Amen. Just letting everybody know that every Tuesday, like today at 7 p.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. And every Thursday night at 7 p.m., join us for Prophetic Atmosphere with yours truly, Prophetess Crystal. And then every Friday night, 7 p.m., Friday Night Jam, Jesus and Me Ministries, amen. That's 7 p.m. Friday night, amen. That's for all the praisers and all the worshipers. And then finally, 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, join us for our live worship experience, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, amen, where we have praise, worship, the Word of God coming forth, full-blown service. For those of you who are in the Brevard County area, please, we invite you out to our location, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in the city of Cocoa, Florida. Once again, that's Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in the city of Cocoa, Florida. For all of you who are not in the Brevard County area, amen, you can watch all of our broadcasts live. You just click on the media tab located at the top of our website, which is www.ctkr.org. Click there, and you can see all of our broadcasts, every service, even going back into our archives and hearing, amen, and enjoying all the services and the praise and worship that we have going forth from both our past as well as what's going on currently, amen, and the Word of God being delivered, amen, from either myself or Apostle McQueen, amen. For those of you who would even like to become a vision partner with this ministry, please join us. Generations Young Warriors Conference. Amen. The young people will be coming forth that whole week with their conference. Amen. We have live worship. We have live praise. Amen. People coming from all over and the word of God being delivered. Amen. Something special for the young people. And if you are not so young, but you're young at heart and believing that the word of God is for everybody, come out also and join us here on those nights. Amen. We guarantee that you will not be disappointed. Amen. Now, those are the events. Those are our messages. Amen. Please govern yourselves accordingly, and we look forward to hearing from you or either seeing you in person. Amen. Glory to God. Now, if you would, go with me into the Word of God, into the book of Psalms, chapter 122, just giving an encouraging word, amen, on this evening, and then we'll go into prayer. Following prayer, next voice you'll hear will be none other than our apostle, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. Book of Psalms, chapter 122, the Word of God reads as such. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearers, and the doers of his word. Amen. Just letting someone know that peace is the word on today. Amen. More will be coming forth, but letting you know that everything that's happening in the United States, or especially in what we've been watching on the news here lately, amen, everything that's going on, we just need to pray, amen, and continuously lift up Jerusalem, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, and even praying for the peace that's going on around the nation, amen. Amen. That's just my quick word of encouragement. Let us pray. And then we shall hear the voice of none other than Apostle McQueen. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you and we lift your name on high. There's nobody like our God, and there's definitely nobody like our King. God, we give you all praise and glory and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we lift your name on high and we worship you because of who you are. Even now, God, as we, your people, come before you, we bow our faces on the ground before you, God. We humble ourselves in spirit. We ask that you would forgive us for every sin and wash us from every iniquity in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we ask even now that as we begin to minister, as the man of God comes and ministers the word of God, that the presence of the Holy Spirit will begin to enter into the sanctuary. Those that are listening under the sound of my voice, God, let their ears be open and their eyes see today. Let us hear your heart, your mind on the word that is getting ready to be delivered, the messages that are coming forth tonight from the man of God. Touch him right now, God. Let him bring forth the word in power, anointing in Jesus' name. Father, let us not see him, but let us see the Christ in him. God, we ask that you would raise the man of God up now, undergird him with your favor, more blessings upon him, more anointing, increase his strength, God, increase his willingness to move forward. Father, we ask even now in Jesus' name that you would continue to wrap your arms around him and take him higher and deeper in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm ready for the word of God. How about you? I just don't want to belabor the time any further. So I will introduce to some, none other than my husband, the chief apostle of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, amen, Apostle Christopher McQueen.
God bless you all. God bless you. God bless you. So happy that you would join us tonight. There's definitely a word from the Lord for you. thought that we would change it up a little bit this evening based on the situation that we are watching unfold throughout the land. I want to take time with Prophetess Crystal and really get into what God is saying to us as a people. Mm-hmm. What is he saying to America and to the world? And we don't want to take it lightly that he would choose at this time to have voice in the ears of the people. If there was ever a time when we need direction mm-hmm. and clarity of voice, it is now.
Yes.
So we want to take some time and just share and see what God is saying. Specifically, we have been talking about the conversations that should have happened before that did not happen, did not occur, such as your Trayvon Martin conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are again with your Michael Brown situation and the officer who said that he felt as if Darren had Darren Warren, he said that he felt as if Mike Brown had a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, he shot it until he felt the threat had subsided. Brothers and sisters, we're living in a time, and we're living in a place right now where life is not valued. And for mm-hmm. any old reason, life can be taken. And just excuses made. Being former law enforcement, I've seen this up close and personal. I won't get into much of my testimony, but Prophetess will attest that we've gone through some things dealing with those in power trying to do that which is unseemly and cover up what they've done. People like me who will not play that game because of integrity, we have to deal with repercussions. I was reading different places, and I think he paid administrative leave. So he's still getting his regular check. And he has $400,000 that has been given to him, donated from several sources. He's got married since that time. He's just going forward, and even though he's going through certain things in his life concerning his decision to kill, and we can't say take the life of, it was a killing, it was a
mm-hmm.
homicide.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way after my training and my time in law enforcement of 15 years that you can tell me that the events of this case here was anything less than someone opportunistic taking the life of an unarmed young man. You can't sugarcoat it. You can't paint it a different way. I'm sorry. You can take your spin doctors and everything and go wash some clothes with that, if you will. But for what really happened, this was a travesty of justice. And we as a people need to right now start dialoguing. What do you think?
And what I think, amen, is that you are absolutely right. We have really not dealt with the true issues as to what has been going on. And not only just the Trayvon Martins and the Michael Browns, but there are many other innocent Black American, African American boys that have died unneedlessly. Amen. There was no purpose. It was just a flat-out killing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And each one of those situations that happen, you always hear it's a reoccurring theme of they always felt threatened.
Right.
They always they felt that they had to, you know, they were felt that they were being harmed in some kind of way. To call Michael Brown a demon and to say,
yes.
You know, first of all, what do you even know what a demon looks like?
Yes, to demonize him was disheartening to hear. And it's something that we've watched over and over again where they have come in and decimated or destroyed a young life, and then afterwards they say, well, we felt threatened. Yet and still, when you look at the dynamics of the policing practices there, you know, they were deplorable at best and very biased. When all you have is three sworn black officers in a society that is 75% African American, you're already looking at a situation that is unbalanced. So when they come to a situation such as this, the outcry goes out. Now, the problem here is that we're talking right now about a Michael Brown.
All right.
But we really need to look at going back. There have been so many things that have been done. This is, for us, American apartheid, if you look at it. Because what they've done is they've created laws and situations where they can do whatever they want and justify it. And we sit back and ask for justice, and our voices aren't heard. We aren't regarded. Those even that they have taken and put into positions, they go off, and let's just say we swallowed this pill, and we swallowed this a lot of times. And until you have been in this situation, my Caucasian brothers and sisters, until you have been in a place where you have been persecuted and your life has been defined by your persecution, you do not understand what we are talking about. To you, you haven't done anything wrong. And, well, you know, it's just we don't know what to do. We got to have laws. We have to have rules. That's fine. But when you have laws and you have rules such as staying your ground that are applied not equally across the board, but specifically when it comes to a minority being gunned down by one who is Caucasian, and they get off with the, I feel threatened. If that's all you, I feel threatened all the time. If I walk into a group of Caucasians and a couple of them have their head shaved, I don't know if I'm looking at a skinhead or if I'm looking at an Aryan or if I'm looking at just a regular old person. But yet and still, I am not afforded the ability or the opportunity to even feel threatened. I've heard a term that I heard, it was so powerful. Young man said that I've had to tone down my ethnicity so as not to appear threatening, even though I wasn't threatening to start with. So we have to really look at what's happening here in these United States. And coming up in probably this weekend, I've been speaking to several different ones over in Pakistan. We'll probably end up having a conversation. I'm trying to set it up now where we'll have a Skype interview with those who are being persecuted over in Pakistan. Now, when we start talking about these types of things, what's really going on is we're looking at a pattern behavior that has come and destroyed the security, the feeling of belonging that we as African Americans or Black Americans, we feel in our own country. As I said, I served 15 years running back and forth and standing on the line, and it was integral in my job until I ran into a Caucasian superior who asked me to change and lie on reports. And when I refused to do so, then they started fabricating lies against me and trying to get me fired because they said I wasn't a team player. That was in 2005. In 2008, they tried it again when we finally just said, that's enough, we're good, and let it go. So we left the police department, but I still had to go back and deal with the smear campaign and deal with all the other things that went along with it. See, those of you who say, I read what it said on the news, I've read what the media put out, you really don't understand how this really works. Because the media is a tool in authority's toolbox. It is something that they use to paint the picture. Go back and look at how this unwinds. He is shot. Mm-hmm. And before that evening, they have already started painting him mm-hmm. as a person who was a terror in his community. Trayvon Martin walking, Skittles, and Snapple Teal, whatever it was. And while he's walking on his way home, he's painted as this thug that's terrorizing a gated community. See, you have to understand, and those of you who don't understand why we're upset, these are the things we're upset at. Because if your child was walking through there doing that, they were misguided.
Yeah.
Our child is walking through there, he's a thug trying to go do something wrong. You know, your child, there are several things that I was looking at, and one of them was there was someone who said that if you were Caucasian and you shot 12 people, they would take you alive. If you just looked menacing as a black teen, you were shot on sight. Our lives don't matter. And when you say, yes, they do, I mean, but look at them. No. You look at them. These are young boys and young girls, and you can't say because of their upbringing or who they are and the color of their skin that if they were out having fun and laughing that they were in the middle of committing a crime.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason to take that life. And as long as we devalue life and make excuses for it, we're going to have some civil disorder and some other problems that are here. But now, with all of that said, what do we do here?
Exactly. What do we do? And that is the pivotal, the $64,000 question. What really do we do? Because even across the board, looking on social media, even in our own society, we all have different opinions of what we should do. I found, even with the Zimmerman case that had happened, and this is something that was very interesting to me,
mm-hmm.
It seems as though when they already have decided to fabricate what they want to do, they already tried to paint the picture as this is he was innocent, Zimmerman was innocent, he was, you know, being threatened, he was going under, you know, when they even did the phone matching and, you know, and everybody that sat on the jury knew that that was not his, was the man's voice, was not the man's voice, it was.
I still remember that, listen to that.
It was Trayvon's voice.
Trayvon's voice clearly scream and holler for his life. And Zimmerman's mother saying, that's my Georgie,
mm-hmm.
knowing good and well that anyone with any, you don't have to have equipment like I do
mm-hmm.
to be able to see that those are two different voices.
Exactly.
And the voice that was in distress was Trayvon, knowing that something serious was about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go look for trouble carrying Skittles and a Snapple drink.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not it. Michael Brown, hands up, don't shoot, is not trying to run at you as a demon.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, no matter how you spin this, the reality is there were people who were there who saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And of those people who saw it, the crying out of the community came really from them.
Mm-hmm.
They're crying out because they saw what happened and what occurred. And we really need to open up the dialogue so that people can actually start to talk about this. Because if we don't talk about it, then what ends up happening is there are assumptions made.
Mm-hmm.
And assumptions are built on presuppositions. You know, I believe that you are like this. I believe that you think like this. I believe that you're this way. And the more that you do that, the more that you begin to then move in those directions. So you justify actions trying to prove something that at the very beginning was a presupposition. You thought that I thought this way. You thought I felt this way. You thought that I acted this way. But you really should have had a dialogue with me so you can understand who I was or who I am and what I think and why I think that. See, some of us have been on both sides of this discussion here. Some of us have been scarred, amen, by being on both sides of this discussion. Mm-hmm. And those who don't understand, y'all just trying to make it. No, we really need to have a dialogue here. And we really need to understand what's going on in society. I'm tired of trying to encourage young men and young women to remain diligent and focused. I was privileged to be part of a leadership institute down here in Florida. And one of the young men said, we need to, just retaliate violence for the violence. And maybe they understand what we're saying. And I was trying to tell him that what they believe already mm-hmm. is that if we, that we're savages and
exactly.
that we're just violent and we're above conversation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when a dog is rabid or mm-hmm. violent, you put the dog down.
Mm-hmm.
So they already consider you that.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think what was so powerful about Martin Luther King in his time was that, and it's something you just said, Apostle, is that the propaganda that
mm-hmm.
goes out is that we as African American people are violent, we're savages, we can't think for ourselves. We need somebody to corral us in. We need somebody to control us. And that is constantly the message that is put out at all times. And as long as you keep putting that information out there, eventually people are going to start believing what they see. That's why, and I'm just trying to parallel this with the Jews
mm-hmm.
and how how everything turned against them all because of propaganda, straight
yeah.
lies that were told, and as the and
right.
the Jews
right.
the reason why you
right.
believe God,
Hitler
and
yes. his regime,
and
the
his
third
regime.
Right, yeah,
exactly, and by him, by them putting all that propaganda out, people that were once friends now started
mm.
to believe that you're the cause of my injustice. You're the cause of the reason why the situation
right.
that I'm in. And so, and again, that propaganda was done by media or the media of that time. And even today, we still have media. And people realize the power of the web, the power of the social media. Now you're connected 24/7, whether it's by a phone or whether it's by an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever people want you to see, they will make sure you see it. Only
yeah.
then,
yeah.
after everything is said and done, here comes the truth. In the Martin, the Michael Brown case,
mm-hmm.
he's shot. He's laying on the ground 4 hours
yeah.
in the hot sun, bleeding out. There's no way that we can actually explain what was right about that.
There was nothing right about that. As I said, 15 years to law enforcement, when there's a shooting and you have a body that obviously has been has expired, you cover it. You know, you move quickly for society's sake to remove that image so that it's not something that is, you know, traumatic to those innocent bystanders.
Mm-hmm.
What we saw here was several mishandlings and I mean, the thing is when you don't have a thought concerning those that are around you, that they would know what you are doing or why you're doing it, your actions are overt instead of covert. So what you do is you do things because you can do things based on what you really feel. I still remember being over on It was a street called Junction back where I'm from. I was policing, and one of the undercover officers came in and stopped somebody. Me and my partner happened to be there and saw them do the stop. People pull up, hands on the car. They already got them out.
Mm-hmm.
We swoop around, put on our lights, get out, you know, assist the officers. And the officer took his pad out and got a sin and said, what's your name? And the guy looked at him, and before he could say anything, that officer came from this side all the way back. And I watched the guy's tooth fly across into the middle of the street. And he said, before you even start, I hate liars. So just tell me your name. I'm looking at this officer like, that was uncalled for.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say anything
mm-hmm.
before you had already assaulted him.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the things that, excuse me, they were asking me not to report or not to say anything. You know, and he comes back and says, I'm just had an argument at home before I came in. You know, I'm just going through some stressful times and some stuff, and, you know. I don't know. It's just I probably shouldn't have did that. He wasn't sorry. He was making an excuse
mm-hmm.
for his action.
Mm-hmm.
He was not sorry.
And truthfully, it was only because you saw him.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't see him, what would he have really done?
When he recognized that I wasn't part of the crew, if you will, and that was the issue with me, he tried to smooth it over with me, you know, concerning that action. After that, you know, the Toledo Police Department was about 700 or so sworn officers. If I heard them calling for help, this officer was not going because I already knew most of the stuff that he was getting into was self-caused. If he went into a situation the way that I saw him operate,
mm-hmm.
I knew that every time he went into that situation, that there was a problem. If I got sent over there to take their prisoner, if you will, their arrestee to the county, and I got over and I saw that the person that had busted lip and swollen eye and the other stuff, scrapes and stuff like that, I already knew what type of officers those were.
Mm-hmm.
See, there were people who knew that I didn't stand for that.
Mm-hmm.
I was a pastor in the city and a police officer. When I had to deal with these type of things, I did it as diplomatic as I could. If you had a warrant, I let you know. We talked about the options of you clearing up this warrant and got everything together, took you down, gave you a court date, let you go. I saw you on the street again. I asked you, hey, did you take care of that? Yeah, I got that all squared away. I can go to court on this time. All right, cool, we good. See, there's a way to take care of the problems, the crime, and other things here. People who are caught up are trying to get more caught up. You know, that's why they run from the
right.
police, because they're not trying to get caught up again. You know, but the thing is when they know that you're a safe officer, they can talk to you and that you're going to be, as they say, 100%,
mm-hmm.
then they'll say, I think I got this warrant. I just got to get that taken care of. You know, Rev, I'm trying to take care of some things in my life, and I got caught up. Well, let me see what you got. Yeah, you got a warrant. I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and give you a court date here. You meet the court on this date, all right? You need to come and sit down and talk to me. Come and do so. My wife would tell you that I have a saying that I've had for a while, and that is that ministry happens. In other words, there's times that ministry will occur that have nothing to do with you trying to be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what needs to happen at that moment in time. So if we're dealing with that, then society is made better by law enforcement that's there for them. Mm-hmm. What we're watching is something far beyond that. There's no place near community policing or a situation of trust. I'm concerned because there's young men and women who are down there peacefully trying to protest what's going on. Mm-hmm. And we're telling them, you know, be peaceful about it. And yet still they keep seeing and hearing that peaceful is not going to cut it. And that's where my concern comes in.
And I agree with you on that. The peaceful, especially for those young people who are already full of rage.
Yeah.
If you're already full of anger and disappointment, it doesn't take much to set you off.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of angry, disappointed, disillusioned, displaced young people. And even though their intention is to go down for some and try to be peaceful, it takes just one person.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, I used to work, many years I worked in a jail setting with young people. There's always,
You had 5 years in correction.
Mm-hmm. And I found even with those group of people, there are certain people that place themselves strategically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always the instigator. Mm-hmm. But that instigator is very strategic because they sit back, but they'll throw out a little something. And then sit back and watch who bites. And then they'll find the person who bites, and then they'll talk that person up, and then they'll go over on the other side and begin to talk this person up, and then they say, you know what, I want to sit back and watch the show. So then they'll start pitting one against the other, and bringing certain people that are in, that are in, and all the while, you'll see the explosion happen, and you never know where it came from. But the person mm-hmm. who's sitting there like, I don't know what happened, how did it happen, is sitting back innocently. All it takes is one person. There was an interesting statement that they were talking about the police officers that were shielded. And before the riots started happening, they said all of a sudden, they said they handled it when people were cursing at them. They handled it when people threw fruit at them. But they said out of nowhere came a microphone, a bullhorn.
A bullhorn.
Somebody threw a bullhorn. We never found out who that person was that threw the bullhorn. But the minute that bullhorn was thrown, that's when everything hit the fan.
No, it was just after that.
Okay.
You know, all of that stuff happened, and the bullhorn came out. They could hear some of the things that were saying. That's where the bullhorn came in. But it was when they started heading south.
Okay.
Then that's when it began to get, you know, out of hand. And, you know, cars being turned over, and set on fire and things. And the thing is that you have all these businesses and everything else. Look at the businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
You're looking
the
at
mom and pop places.
Mom and pop places with the hair, you know, beauty supply, the shop, you know, the beauty shop that was burned down. Storage places, you know, people's valuables are. Where they can't keep them at home, they got to put it in storage. Well, that storage just went up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that happened, but we don't hear anything happening in the Caucasian end of town.
Exactly.
Everything happened, you know, right in the community where the atrocities are occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, you know, that's because they're not but a bunch of animals out there. No, they already know that their voice isn't heard. Martin Luther King said something that was interesting. He said, rioting is the voice of those who feel that they are unheard. So how do we then deal with being heard? You know, and I know this is the Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast, but we have to be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, if you have followed this ministry, you've heard us say often that we got to stop running around talking about, ooh, I'm getting my new increase and my new car, my new house, and, you know, more for me. And we got to start dealing with these kingdom issues because they're not being dealt with, they're not being mentioned, and after all is said and done, people are dying and going to
right
hell,
on the vine.
And we're sitting back, acting like, well, that was just sad that happened.
Did they leave their offering?
Right. You know, the thing is that we have to really begin to look at this, understand what is happening so that God can get the glory out of our life. How can he get the glory out of our life when we're trying to get the glory for ourselves? We got to get back to really focusing on the Lord, and that's where we are now.
May I say something about that? To piggyback off of what the man of God is saying, the true apostles and prophets address the social issues and the atrocities, even in the Bible. So what makes you think that we are over here in today, the 21st century and beyond, and we're not called to address atrocities, not called to address the social issues? You can't say to me that you are a kingdom visionary, that you're called, you know, the apostle this and the prophet this, and you're not dealing with what is going on in society. And the when Apostle was talking about dealing with the issues, we need to talk about in dialogue. The very thing that's going to take, number one, yes, it is going to take prayer. It really is. It is going to take us being unified. It is going to take us getting to a place where we are repentant enough and turning our hearts back to God. But the most of, because if we turn our hearts back to him, he changes the heart. If your heart is not changed, your mind is not changed, therefore you're still going to do the same thing you've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even with when they were talking about setting the police cars on fire, and I was reading a transaction on the social media, and it was actually a Caucasian lady, and she said, I can hear, she said, I have a scanner set up in my home. And she said, they will have you think that it was an African-American that set the police car on fire. She said, no, it was one of us.
Mm-hmm.
It was our people that set the car on fire.
Please.
So not only, but the news will tell you that it was us, that it was an African-American, a black person that had set the car on fire. But when you start looking at the reality of what's going on, you saw white, black, and anybody who wanted to take advantage of the situation. Everybody out there wasn't trying to loot and pillage. Everybody wasn't trying to do that. It just takes the few in there that want to take advantage of the situation. And one of my goals is that to be able to change the heart of a person, if I change your heart and change your thoughts, whatsoever a man thinketh, so is he. If we can get the people's thoughts changed, if I can get your view to change about how you think about yourself, how you see yourself, then nothing can stop you. But we allow people to label us. And we allow society to label us. We allow other people to label us. We allow social media to label us.
Yeah.
And then after they have labeled us, even if we're not that, we start acting that way. We start becoming what the label is. And even within the African-American society, those businesses that were looted, they were white and they were black.
Yeah.
So here we're mad about what's going on in society, but yet we're attacking our own people. We're killing ourselves. We're in the inner circle is we're killing our foundation. How can I support you and yet tear down what is yours at the same time? If I tear you down, I'm tearing me down.
Yeah.
But we don't look at it that way. We look at it as a self-serving, selfish. It's about me. It's about mine. And even what we've been being fed over since the 80s, it's about more, and how can I get more?
Right. It's so self-centered and self-aggrandizing that we've lost focus on really the assignment. We've lost focus on what we're supposed to be doing for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Our assignments are left desolate, and we're so busy trying to prove and outdo one another that the enemy doesn't have to really fight a spiritual battle against us. Infighting has taken out a lot.
If I can get you to curse yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Balaam.
You know, and that's good right there. Balak and Balaam, these people that you have blessed are here, and they're going to take over everything. How can I curse them? How can I get rid of them? And the answer is you can. But if you get them to curse themselves, then their God will turn his back on them and they will be decimated. See, we don't take it into consideration that this right here is something that has been going on for a while. We used to have to deal with, when we came, it was slavery.
Mm-hmm.
After slavery, it was restrict education
mm-hmm.
and keep them ignorant so that they don't know, misinterpret. If you could read or if you could speak, articulate thought, you were a threat. So intelligence was seen to be a renegade action, and you were dealt with because you were too smart. We have to deal with all the Jim Crow laws that were put
mm-hmm,
in place.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't understand what a Jim Crow law is, stand your ground. It's a Jim Crow law. Basically, it's a law that's applied to the white man but not to the black man or any other
minority.
It's a law put on book that will allow them to go out and govern and police as they will without having repercussions for the action. So the fact that our young black men and women, our boys and girls are being killed by white people, you know, while it is an atrocity, it is something that has been put in place and we've seen far too much of. 1968 with the civil rights movement that were going forward, we've seen in the 60s, we've seen all kind of police actions concerning the atrocities that were done to us as a race. Have civil rights and other things come up and those laws be passed were the time when we could step forward and start to move on in healing and move on in, you know, being heard and understood. And even now we have people talking about, well, racial tensions are over. We don't have any more racial tensions.
What?
Okay, you're sitting on a Supreme Court and
mm-hmm.
you reverse certain aspects of affirmative action and other things. What does that do? It tells those who have been holding their breath a long time, now's your time to act. Like I said, we still have Jim Crow laws
mm-hmm.
that are out here, and they're being used against us as a race of people. And not just us, because now we're dealing with not just the black threat,
exactly.
You have the brown threat.
Yeah.
So now we have to deal with Hispanics who are coming in
mm-hmm.
and immigration
reform
and everything else. All of these laws, oh, they're going to come over here and take over. And what about us? And wait a minute. You know, no one's coming trying to take over your part.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to deal
get
with
a part.
What we're dealing with.
Yeah.
This is us. We're all Americans. When we go to war, you don't go to war. You send us to war.
Mm-hmm.
We go over there and die by the multitude. And when we come back and we didn't die in the war, then to get things that are due us, we got to go through so much red tape and everything else. I mean, your children go over there and they come back and they jump right through the hoops as if there were none. And you're still asking, why do we feel this way?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you refuse to look at what's really out here. And let me say this. When you are watching and looking at the rhetoric that is propagated by Fox News and some of the others, all the fear-mongering, all they're doing is they're trying to portray something that is not in order to move their base towards action. Those of you who are complaining about Ferguson and Sanford and you know, talking about all of these things, my question to you is, where were you in the last election? Where were you when those Republicans who like to deal with the NRA and all of these other things and the big money, you know, that they throw towards all of this to slant and spin and to, you know, paint a picture of how it is that, and it was somebody else. Where were you when the elections were going forward? Did you just vote for President Obama and sit back, you know, with your arms crossed saying that I did my part? But you didn't vote in his support. So we have a dead Congress. We've had gridlock for how long in Washington based on who's not going to do what for what reason. And you got to really look at what's going on. For those of you who think that race relations we've gone past this and it's something else, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever seen in the history of the United States such a disrespect for the office of the president? Now, while you're asking that question, you're answering that question, answer the question, how many black presidents or minority presidents have we had? And now you see that the real issue here is not who's in office. We didn't like Clinton. We didn't like Carter. We didn't like, Bush 1. Mm-hmm. We didn't like Bush 2. You know, okay, listen, you're not going to like anybody.
Mm-mm.
But you always respected the presidency until now. And anything that he would say, I still think that it's comical that the Obamacare was really taken from New Hampshire, which is where Mitt Romney, you know, he set the whole thing up. They modeled it after that. And because he said it, it became the biggest, oh, my God, we can't do this. But it's just as quick if Mitt Romney had got up there and said, well, you know, I've done this in my state, and I think we need to do this. It's going to be good for the nation. It's a shame that the most powerful nation in the world doesn't have universal health care for all of the citizens. It should be a right for us to be. Then everyone would have got up and said, we applaud you. This wonderful thinking. And that's why we are the greatest nation in the world. A black president, you know, pushed it through and got it done. Oh, it's the devil work. Mm-hmm. There has to be socialism. There has to be something else. Now, let's just look at it for what it is. We're not as far away from race and racial profiling still in the news. We're not so far away from Jim Crow. We're still dealing with it. We're not so far away from the need for affirmative action laws and protection. We're still here.
And I actually commend Obama, because in President Obama, because in the midst of all of the chaos, in the midst of all the pressure and the challenges that have came against him, he has still been the most successful. Even though they want to keep it as quiet as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And I do mean they keep it as quiet as they possibly can. The man has did everything that he set in the house to do. I mean, there are a few things that, you know, you can imagine if everybody would have really gotten behind him, how much further
we
could have been
as a nation.
But the white establishment who has fallen so greatly, who are like scraping like dogs at the bottom of a hill, trying to, you know, the South will rise again type mentality, they cannot come to the realization that an African American can do, because they've been taught all of their can operate effectively and efficiently. They've been taught all their life that we're nothing.
Yes.
And what they could not do, God orchestrated for a minority man to do. What is very interesting to me, and you made the statement of, you know, where were you with the vote? Even for those of you who have voted, my challenge to you is, did you really look at the issues for who you were voting for? It's not, we always look at who's on top. It's not, you have to realize that.
Did you vote party or did you vote platform?
Exactly. And too many of us, even with many people, we vote on top. We look at the house, but we don't look at the foundation. It's the foundation. It's the support that keeps the people. And we have to really focus on even the foundation of a house is what allows the house to stand.
That's it.
And if we're not really careful and really focusing and really listening to not the rhetoric, but start digging into these people's beliefs, who were they before they started? What did they believe in when they started out? Why did they switch certain parties? Now where are they?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that they truly believe? Then you can actually vote with a full understanding
and a clear conscience.
And a clear conscience of what you have done, because many of us have voted, well, I'm just a Democrat. I'm just going boom, 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 boom. But if the Democrat or the candidate that you're voting for, if they really truly do not have your heart in mind or the issues that you believe in mind, you just made the biggest mistake of your life.
Afterwards, you come back and try to defend, you know, why you wouldn't vote Republican. The same thing, Republican, you just voting Republican mm-hmm. because what they believe in, they don't believe in abortion. Okay, that sounded good on paper, but go back and look and see how many of them have children that they've already paid for abortions and the like.
Mm-hmm.
You can't vote party. You have to vote platform. And I think at this point, we really need to start looking at some of the other issues. I know some of you, as we come to a close, have been looking at the fact that this is Kingdom Lifestyle. So you're waiting on us to get into some of this revelatory word. But there is a word. Bible says very clearly, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, listen to this, and turn from their wicked ways. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. Listen, we gotta turn. We gotta seek. We gotta get back to God.
That's it.
All of this is just setting the stage for the Antichrist to come in. It's gonna get worse before it gets better. And the reason why it gets better, it's because he needs to have some platform to resolve all of our issues. But the deception that comes along with it is what's going to turn this earth on its ear. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins. I pray that you pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching ministry where they can be developed and go on to do the work that you called them to do. I pray for those who are sick, those who need miracles, those who need a touch from you, Lord, that you would send your ministering angels to minister to them now in the name of Jesus. I pray right now for release and revelation.
Yes, God, yes.
I'm praying for those in Ferguson and those in that Midwest region, Lord, that you would send peace, mm-hmm. Lord. Help us, Lord, to get the resolution that we need, Lord, to bring peace in the land. And help us, Lord, to stand up and
yes.
do the work that you've given us to do
so
that the enemy of our souls will not have a foothold in bringing about our destruction. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. What's today? November what? We'll get it later. Okay, put it back. I'm going to leave the chairs over there, though. I'm going to leave the chairs just like that. They ain't got to go through all that. You not. You ain't got to worry about all that.